have in the movie, I have a number of gently disguised facts that will, you know, I hope we might seep in a little bit. But I just can't take your money if you're thinking that this is some love poem to Donald Trump, because it's the opposite of that.
Well, so. It wasn't only them, but him. It was Donald Trump himself who tweeted out this video.
Correct.
He wrote, what? Michael Moore, to all Americans, I see you and I hear you. I am your voice. Vote to drain the swamp with me on 11-8. And he linked to a YouTube of the edited video.
Yes, which only then drove hundreds of thousands of more people to my movie, maybe millions at this point. And it's like, I looked at this, I thought, I cannot believe this, right? So does he think, okay, he clearly hasn't seen the movie, right? So does he think, this is, honest, Amy, this is what I think it is. I think he saw that his name was in the title of a movie. And he's such a narcissist that he just went, hey, there's a movie about me. It's got my name in it, you know? He doesn't talk like that, by the way. That was like Western Michigan accent.
Academy Award-winning filmmaker Michael Moore, director of the new film Michael Moore in Trumpland. And that does it for our show. To see part one of our discussion with Michael, go to democracynow.org. Also, we're doing a five-hour election night special. That's Tuesday night, 7 to midnight Eastern time. Check it out at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkman, Reed Shea, Carla Wells, Laura Gottes, Dina Dietgeister. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. More talk radio is next.
November 11th is Veterans Day, a day to honor those men and women who served in the United States Armed Forces. But our veterans are also serving time in our jails and prisons, and Oregon has among the highest rate of incarcerated veterans in the nation. Join Prison Pipeline on November 7th as we discuss why so many of our men and women in uniform end up in the criminal justice system. That's Prison Pipeline, November 7th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina. His homecoming is disrupted when he learns that someone close to him has been lynched by a white mob. Again, that's Aftermath, produced by Triangle Productions, November 28th at 7 p.m. at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're listening to KBOO, your community radio station here in Portland. If you are listening throughout the region, that may be at 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, via the World Wide Web, it's kboo.fm. And this is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott.
I am Celeste Carey, and welcome.
This morning, as we edge towards the brink, we...
I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared for that. Oh. I love that line, edge toward the brink.
We're going to talk about elections, but more specifically, we're going to talk about reforms that are being offered, and particularly about what is happening in Benton County. We're going to talk with Blair Beaubier, who is one of the chief petitioner for Yes 2-1000, which is ranked choice voting. Join in if you have a question for Blair. Give us a call. Blair will be with us for about a half hour, and in it you will learn lots of things. And as we edge towards the brink. Good morning, Blair.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Tell us about Yes 2-1000 and how the choice of ranked choice voting might be an opportunity for people to feel more engaged in the electoral process.
Absolutely. First, it's Measure 2-100 in Benton County. Okay. And the way ranked choice voting works, just because I imagine there are people who don't know, instead of voting for just one candidate as we do now, voters get to rank the candidates in order of preference. So you get to pick your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and so on. And what this does is it gives us as voters more power and more control over the election process by giving us more choices and, more importantly, more viable choices. It means that we as voters don't have to pick between voting for the lesser of two evils or feel like we're throwing our votes away. And here's how it works. If one candidate gets a majority, 50% plus one, of the first choice votes, they win. If no candidate gets a majority, then an instant runoff takes place. And that's another name for this. People may know it as instant runoff voting. And the way that works is the candidate with the fewest first choice votes is eliminated from the race, and whoever voted for that eliminated candidate, their ballot then automatically counts for their second choice. And to kind of put this in practical perspective, if people would think back to the Bush v. Gore election that Ralph Nader was in, no candidate initially got a majority, and if Nader voters had been able to use ranked choice voting, presumably they would have put Al Gore down as their second choice, and those Nader voters could have had their second choice count, and then the combination of the Nader and the Gore votes would have put him over the top. So that's how it works in general. In Benton County, we've put up a charter amendment with Measure 2-100 that would use ranked choice voting to elect our county officials, basically our county commissioners. And in other places that have used ranked choice voting, more people have been engaged. It's resulted in more diversity showing up on the bodies that are elected by ranked choice voting. And campaigns have become much more civil and cooperative because candidates can't just rely on their own supporters. They would have to reach out to the whole spectrum of voters. They have to be looking for second choice votes as well as the support from their own supporters, so they can't really go and trash other candidates. They have to focus more on the issues.
And is this ranked choice voting or in any other place in Oregon?
It's in the Oregon Constitution. That's actually been in the Oregon Constitution since 1908. It was part of the great wave of progressive reforms that brought about the initiative and referendum system and direct election of U.S. senators, women's right to vote. But it has not been implemented anywhere in Oregon. It is used by a number of colleges around the state. I believe it's used by several in the Portland area. It's used at Oregon State University here in Corvallis, and I believe Lane Community College uses it as well. San Francisco uses it, Minneapolis and St. Paul, Portland, Maine, Oakland, Berkeley. It's used in several states in the South, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Arkansas, I believe, for overseas and military voters.
Now, I have to say, Blair, that saying that Louisiana uses it is not exactly a vote of confidence. But I'm really curious, if it's been in the Oregon Constitution since 1908, can you tell us what has been the hindrance? Why has it not been more fully recognized throughout the state?
I think there just hasn't been a solid grassroots movement to put it in effect. The powers that don't want to see this used are the ones that have been in control and have been tightening up the ballot and trying to keep people from having more choices. So we've been very fortunate in putting together a really good coalition. It's a multi-party coalition. The Green and Democratic parties are involved with this. The Independent Party of Oregon has supported it, the Libertarian and Progressive parties. So we've really got a broad coalition. The local League of Women Voters and the local branch of the NAACP are all supporting this here in Benton County.
And this would work for nonpartisan elections, is that correct, in county elections?
The county elections for county commissioner in Benton County are actually partisan elections.
Okay.
So this wouldn't affect the primaries. It would only be used in the general election. So after the so-called major parties, the Democrats, the Republicans, and now the Independent Party, after they choose their candidates through the primaries and after the smaller parties, such as the Greens and the Libertarians, choose their candidates through conventions, all those candidates would be on the general election ballot in November, and that's where ranked choice voting would come into effect.
We're speaking this morning with Blair Beaubier, who is one of the chief petitioners for Charter Amendment 2-100 in Benton County, ranked choice voting. If you have a question or comment for Blair, give us a call at 503-231-8187.
One of the things that I think many people are curious about is how this would be, well, basically, how could you guarantee that you would have a good batch of candidates? It seems that even though you may change the process, you still have to look at the money that goes into candidates being able to promote themselves. So it seems to me perhaps one hand is missing in this change. Is that true?
Well, you know, we can't change everything with this reform. It can change a lot. It's one of a number of reforms, and absolutely, I agree with you. We have to address the issue of money in the process. I will say that in a number of ways, this does open things up, because one thing right now is that there are people who just don't want to get into the political process, either because they think it'll take too much time or too much money, or because they don't have a chance. And this really makes it more viable for more people to get into grassroots elections, people who otherwise wouldn't be willing to run. Another thing is that in some places, like in Portland, where you have two rounds of elections for local offices, right? If you have, in Portland, people run for the city council, and if they run during the primary and no one gets a majority,
or they're unopposed,
right, then there's a second election. And you can use this, that's one of the reasons it's called instant runoff voting, to eliminate that primary. And so everybody could just run in the November election. And what that does is it means that it doesn't take as much money to run for office, and people don't have to run two campaigns. Mm-hmm. In places that have eliminated one election, like they've done in Oakland and San Francisco, the candidates love this because they don't have to run in a primary and in a general election. They just run once, and that means they have to, or they don't have to raise as much money, and they don't spend as much money. So it can really have a beneficial effect in terms of campaign finance.
Well, Blair, what about people who are incumbents? Would this have any provisions for whether or not they'd have to quit their daytime job, so to speak?
No, it doesn't affect that either. You know, like I said, there's a number of reforms that reformers embrace, and they have to be kind of enacted one at a time, more or less. I mean, we could certainly put forward packages of them, but right now, for those of us in Benton County, we've been working pretty hard on this for about a year, and we've had our hands full.
You mentioned the range of wide support that you have for this, and you mentioned several political parties. I'm wondering if particularly the Democrats and Republicans, have there been any resistance to this, or how have you convinced those who are wedded to one of the major political parties how this might be good for them?
So I'm one of the two chief petitioners, and the other chief petitioner is a Democratic state representative from Corvallis, Dan Rayfield. So the local Democrats have been a part of this right from the beginning. The Republicans have not shown any particular interest in it, and this is something that doesn't favor any particular political party. It really just favors the majority sentiment in whatever community you're in. So I'm really not quite sure what the Republican hesitation is, because it could benefit them just as much as anyone else. And the Libertarian and Independent and Progressive parties have supported it as well.
And you mentioned how it has been used in various municipalities of various sizes in various regions throughout the country. Have you heard any feedback that a negative in terms of instant runoff voting?
Well, I think the response has been pretty positive, and there's been really good results in a number of places. I should also point out that it's used around the world. It's used in Australia. It's been used for their national elections for about 100 years. Ireland uses it to elect their president. And right now, Maine will be voting tomorrow on whether or not to become the first state to use it statewide. In San Francisco, ranked choice voting has produced the most diverse board of supervisors that they've ever had. In Oakland, it produced the first Asian American and the first woman mayor. It's been very successful in both Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they've liked it so much in Portland, Maine, they're trying to take it statewide. So I think the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
So what type of education that is needed when this becomes law, because it's a new way of voting? So would you have how does the ballot look different from the way most people are used to ballots?
Well, there's a couple of different ballot designs, and there's different ways of doing it. Basically, you'd have a bubble just like you do now, where you fill in a column for your first choice, a column for your second choice, and a column for your third choice. And you're absolutely right, it's a change, and you can't do a change like this without voter education. And that's what's happened in all the communities in this country that have switched. And so they've done things like putting on forums in conjunction with the League of Women Voters and other community organizations. They've done mailings to households. There have even been ads on buses and public service announcements. And what we would be doing here in Benin County is the county would be requesting money from the state to help fund the voter education project. And we'd be working again with those local community organizations and doing things like sort of mock elections and different things that we'd be ranking. We'd invite the community to participate. We kind of had a little fun event during our campaign where we invited people to a local microbrewery so they could sample and rank beer.
Okay. Are you sure you didn't get any biased votes? So I have another question here about the fact that this has already existed within the Oregon Constitution, but it's not really been enacted. First and foremost, will it cost the state to fully implement it in a different way than we currently vote? Supposedly, we have a very good mail-in voting system. So that would be the first question.
Okay, so there's usually some type of cost involved. Because,
oh, yes, of course.
Because you've got the voter education component of it, and then whether or not the machines are compatible with counting this is another question. Often they are, but there needs to be some tweak to the software, and usually the companies that have proprietary interest in these voting machines, even though the changes could be pretty simple and pretty cheap, they don't necessarily make it simple or cheap for anyone. So in Benton County, as I said, we've written into our charter provision a part of it where we have to get funding from the state or from an outside source, a nonprofit organization. We didn't want the cost in Benton County to be an issue in particular because we see this as being a pilot program for the rest of the state. So we're hoping that the legislature sees fit to swing a little bit of money for voter education and to make sure that the counting system is certified by the Secretary of State. So if we were to do this statewide, say, there might be some cost involved. And there's also pretty inexpensive workarounds. I mean, there have been jurisdictions that have figured out how to do this on an Excel program, basically. So it doesn't necessarily have to be expensive. And particularly if any jurisdiction is going to be eliminating an election by using it, then actually there can be cost savings over the long run.
We're speaking this morning with Blair Beaubier, who is a chief petitioner for Charter Amendment 2100 in Benton County, instant runoff or ranked choice voting. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call at 503-231-8187. I'm intrigued by your perspective that this will improve or certainly change the tone of general elections, because candidate A would certainly want to persuade candidate B supporters to vote for them as a second or third choice. How do you think that candidates will respond to this new challenge in terms of winning elections?
Especially since they want to be first.
Well, they do want to be first, for sure. But what we've seen in places specifically down in the Bay Area is that candidates will put out their literature and say things like, I want your first choice vote, but if you're going to vote for other candidates, make me your second choice vote. Some candidates have actually even put out campaign material together or held forums together where they've said, hey, I like this other candidate. I just hope you vote for me, but if not, I want to be your second choice. So it's really shown to increase the civility and cooperation. Here in Benton County, we had a forum about this recently, and one of our county commissioners, Ann Schuster, who's an incumbent, if this passes, she will be the first person to be affected by this because she's the first sitting county commissioner who would have to run for re-election. And she was very enthusiastic about it. And in fact, when asked what she liked about it, she brought up this issue of civility and cooperation. So she welcomed having people into the race because she thought that the level of cooperation and civility would be elevated by this voting method.
I assume that other municipalities throughout the state are looking at what will happen at Benton tomorrow. Has there been any talk or ways in which you have cooperated with other groups throughout the state to bring this type of initiative to their communities?
Well, I know that there's people in a number of places, and I'm sure there's people listening right now in the Portland area who are very interested. We've been contacted by people in Multnomah County. People have donated to the campaign. There have been people who've been involved and active in this for years in the Portland area and also in Eugene. And I think people are so excited that they're not necessarily even waiting for the results from tomorrow. They're already looking to start on doing other efforts in 2018.
And that would be my second question. What would it take to bring it to a wider audience, a wider group of either counties in Oregon or statewide?
Well, any number of a combination of things. And you know, they say nothing succeeds like success. So I think if we are successful tomorrow night, that's going to just elevate this to another level. And the same if this passes statewide in Maine. So I think we'll see a lot of interest in it and more visibility for it. We'd certainly like to see it pass here and be implemented here and be successful. But at this point, I think there's so much momentum behind it that there's really not much we can do to stop it if anybody wanted to. But it's really going to have a life of its own. And for those of us who've been working on it for a while, we're happy to support that effort and tie people together in any way that we can. It's possible that some people may want to do this at a statewide level before other jurisdictions implement it. Otherwise, I would think that we would likely see efforts in the Portland area and probably in Eugene within the next couple of years.
Okay, which sounds great, but I was thinking more of nuts and bolts. Who should people contact, or how should they start their education if they want to get more information on how to get it started?
Okay, so there's a couple different ways to do that. Our website right now, betterballotbenton.com, is a good way for folks in Oregon to start getting organized or get in touch with us, because then we can be the hub and facilitate that. On a national level, there's a group called Fair Vote, and their website is just fairvote.org, and they've been the prime national advocate for this voting reform as well as other types of voting reform. So either betterballotbenton.com or fairvote.org would be a great place for people to get started.
Thank you. You are listening to More Talk Radio. Our guest this morning is Blair Beauvais. Our number here is 503-231-8187. And we'll say hello to Spring. Good morning, Spring.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the wonderful show. Always love it. And all the hard work you've been up to, and I'm sure it's taken a solid year, Blair. I look forward to being able to vote ranked choice. And also, let's get our primaries opened up, which we haven't been able to crack that nut on the general elections or the primaries. So thanks again. Keep it up, and I will listen off air. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
So Spring, you know, mentioned another possible reforms that people are struggling with. Are there any things your group is planning for next steps when this is voted on, after this is voted on by the people in the county? Or will you just be working on making sure that everything works out well, or are there next steps you have in terms of electoral reforms?
So we came together specifically to get this going in Benton County for two reasons, really. One was that we live here and we wanted to see this voting method used here. Our county charter does not have a majority vote requirement for local offices, so we wanted to make sure that we didn't have a Bush-Gore Nader type situation here. And in fact, there's a three-way race for county commissioner in this election where it's pretty likely we won't have a winner who gets a majority. And the other component was that we thought this would be a springboard for statewide action. Now, we have been working pretty diligently on this, and our main goal is to make sure that this passes tomorrow. We've got volunteers who are going to be on the phones all day today. We were knocking on doors last night, so we got to make sure this passes first. Once it passes, we have to make sure we get the funding, and then we have to do the voter education to make sure that the first time this is used, it goes as smoothly as possible. In terms of other reforms, and I think we should address what Spring brought up, and there's the question of opening up the primaries, and I think we have to draw the distinction between a true open primary and the top two system that has been put on the ballot a couple of times and fortunately soundly defeated here in Oregon, because top two, I think, is a pretty anti-democratic way to vote. And in fact, Celeste, that's what they used in Louisiana for a long time.
Yes.
And it's been used in California and Washington for the past few elections, and they've had terrible buyer's remorse. So there's a big difference between the top two system and letting people who either aren't registered with a particular political party, all independents, people from different parties, opening up the primaries is a different animal from the top two. So I would support opening up primaries. The top two, I want an 11-foot pole for, because I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. Join the conversation here. We are speaking with Blair Beauvier, who is with Benton County's Planning Commission, and also heading up the effort here. We've got a few minutes more with them, so make your call now at 503-231-8187.
I want to ask you, in terms of, again, a little bit about the how this was implemented, and that was in terms of your organizing. What type of conversations did you have initially with different people in different communities, and what led you to decide that this is what we should work on at this point in time? And how long have you been working on this?
Well, I've been involved in different types of voting reform for somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 years or so. I was one of the organizers that started the Pacific Green Party, started in Portland, in fact. And after getting into this and looking at trying to open the system up to more voices and more choices, it became obvious that the current election system did the opposite of that. So we started looking at different types of election reform. Ranked choice voting really rose to the top. And when we wanted to do it here in Benton County, I had worked with folks down in the Bay Area, so we were able to talk to people who had worked on it down in San Francisco and Oakland, and I had done some work on it down there. The same with people in Minneapolis. We were able to connect with the folks at FairVote who worked on this nationally. And then it was just the question of going to different people in the community and explaining this and building support for it. So we've got tremendous support. The entire Benton County Commission, all three of them, support this. 7 out of 9 Corvallis city councilors, the mayor of Corvallis, our state representative, state senator Sarah Gelser, as I said, the NAACP and the League of Women Voters. We just started going from one organization to the next, and the support, the endorsements have been phenomenal. Want to tell people, too, that President Obama, when he was an Illinois state senator, introduced ranked choice voting legislation. Bernie Sanders has testified in favor of it, and again, to show that it's not just something from any one political party, Senator John McCain also supports it. So it's really got support from a broad spectrum.
And let's go to our last caller for this segment. Mary Jane, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Celeste and Cecil. KBOO, a sustaining member, always try to listen to your show. And I didn't get your guest name.
Blair.
Blair.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for all the work you're doing. I was just in beautiful Corvallis yesterday. I live in conservative, predominantly white, redneck, sweet home, but I love it. I mean, it's rural, and I love that. But I love getting my diversity. And I just want to say thank you for all your work. I am a little tired and drinking my coffee here. But hopefully this will spread to Linn County. I mean, I testified in Albany a few years ago when we were just trying to get medical marijuana passed, and Nyquist is still running, and it's just... But what I'm doing locally is I go to my council, and we're trying to... We have a lot of people coming up for election nominees, more women, more open-minded people, more progressive, which is a really good thing. But anyway, just want to thank you and KBOO. And what I did want to say is every time I go to Corvallis, I speak to people of KBOO. I try to spread the word. And I was at the Grassroots Bookstore, and I saw that Winona LaDuke is going to be in Corvallis soon, so I want to give a plug out to that for everybody. But I wish there would be more advertisement for KBOO there, because people would love it. I know there's the Philomath Station, but anyway, it's a little mixed, but it's still really the same, getting the word out from a non-corporate sponsor and community station. So I love KBOO, and thank you for what all you're doing in Benton County. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Blair,
have a great day.
You too, Mary Jane. And Blair, before we let you go, I also want to commend you for your work. I remember your work way back when in Portland. And are there any other things you would like to say to let people know about what's happening tomorrow, besides, you know, make sure you mail in
carrying
your ballot by tomorrow?
Yes,
that's right. Bring your ballots in, because it's too late to mail.
Yes.
So folks, yep, you've got till 8 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you get them in. I want to thank Mary Jane for her call. Winona LaDuke will actually be speaking in Eugene this month. I think it's in about a week or so, at the University of Oregon. And of course, Winona ran as the vice president for the Green Party with Ralph Nader. And Cecil, thank you for your kind words. And one thing I just want to point out to people, you know, both of you have asked me, and the callers have asked, about bringing this elsewhere and how we do this. And this was a real grassroots effort. This kind of started over some real just small meetings of people saying, hey, what are we going to do and how can we do it? And we were fortunate in building our coalition up and getting more and more support. But this has all been volunteers up until just a couple of months ago, when we hired a campaign manager and a couple of people to go out and knock on doors. But for the bulk of this, it was just volunteers doing good old community organizing, meeting, reaching out to people and doing the work. So if people in other communities are looking to do this, it's not like it's rocket science. It just takes hard work and dedication, and people can do it in their communities. So again, I'd urge people to check out betterballotbenton.com, and we'll be happy to get in touch with people and help put them together. It's going to be an awfully interesting election. I was talking to my son this morning, and he was actually asking about what we're going to do next, and we both decided, well, it kind of depends if we still have a country after.
If we still have a next, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that I hope you will do is really not just gather allies to do the work for you, but go to minority and newcomer communities and really show them the benefits of this instant runoff voting, because those are the voters who can really make a big difference as we try to come together and improve not only the voting process, but the candidate pools.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think it's really important to remember that in terms of American democracy, that it was something the founders really didn't want. Democracy was not a word on their lips. They didn't want
no,
most
we
of
were
us
a republic.
To vote. Right. They did not want most of us to vote. So at this point, everything that we do is a result of our own efforts, and it's an evolutionary process. And ranked choice voting and other voting reforms are ways that we should be using to engage more people and more diversity. If you look at countries around the world, they have much greater representation of women, they have much higher voter turnout, and that's a lot due to the type of voting methods that they use. So there are a number of ways that we can increase representation. I think the bottom line is that the government that we elect should look like the people that elects the government.
Well, thank you so much for your words and your work and the effort. We've been speaking with Blair Beaubier, who is with Benton County Planning Commission, and additionally working for Benton County Better Votes. Did I say that right? Better Ballot.
Better Ballot Benton.
There we go. Better Ballot Benton.
Say that three times fast.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Cecil and Celeste.
Thank you. Thank you, Blair. And, you know, continuing our conversation about electoral reform, you know, coming up at 9 in the old Mo Variety Hour, Bill Resnick and Trayvon Leyshon discuss what the left can do in national politics if Hillary Clinton wins. Joe Clement talks with Curtis Sansoni about electoralism, and Fran Michael revisit the question of voting for the lesser evil. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, the theme will be an interview with Harry McCormick. Barbara will talk about what needs to be done to protect farmland and what Harry calls food land in the Willamette Valley. 11 is Health Watch. It's an explanation on how to safely and easily incorporate herbs, antioxidants, and nutritional supplements in the conventional treatments of 6 common neurological disorders. 11:30 is Madness Radio. We'll hear from psychiatrist Dr. Terry Cooper's about his book, Prison Madness, The Mental Health Crisis Behind Bars and What We Can Do About It. Thank you, Cable members, for your support. If you're not a member, go to kboo.fm. We are More Talk Radio. We're talking about electoral reform. We have a caller online. LJ.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
It's Monday, but the sun's out.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay, first of all, thank you for opening up the dialogue on RVC. Very, very important. And I just wanted to tell folks that the November 14th issue of The Nation has a very nice article about ranked choice voting. They pretty much cover Maine's efforts at doing that. So if you folks want to read more about it, just go to The Nation. I'm sure you can find it online. And the November 14th issue of The Nation.
So,
all right.
So it sounds like something you are in support of, correct?
Duh.
never assume, because someone told me
really,
it makes
really.
an ASS.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because it's going to open up the process. Mm-hmm. As it stands right now, we have our choice of Tweedly D or Tweedly Dumb, and it's pretty much closed, you know, and I don't know about how you folks feel, but I'm sick and tired of having to choose between the lesser of two evils.
Okay, here's the problem. I think sometimes we forget who is running the situation, and so it's going to take more than just some voting to actually make a difference. And had Blair been on a little longer and we'd be able to ask him, one of the questions I would ask is, well, how does he expect the RCV, which is the ranked choice voting, to stand up against the Electoral College. Because when we talk about election reform, there's quite a few different levels we have to address.
Well, I think that this can only work on the local level. I don't see how it can work on the national level, because as we know, that national level is pretty much closed. So I think it would have to be local.
Okay.
Now it's my understanding that the mayor of Richmond, California, who's a Green, won her mayorship as a result of ranked choice voting. So.
Well, it is certainly an option in terms of the voting reforms. Are there any? Could you name one or two voting reforms you might be in favor of?
Well, I would certainly, as a member of the Green Party, I'm frankly not allowed to vote in the primary.
Oh, I've had that same argument for years, and I remember having some caller here on More Talk Radio tell me how naive I was that I thought that there should be open primaries. Well, of course, this had to have been back in the very early 90s.
Well, I tend to disagree.
What,
I'm not for open primaries.
We got a three-way discussion here.
Okay. I think if you want to be... Mm-hmm. Invited to the party, join the party.
But what if you like the candidate but not the party?
What does the party have to do with the candidate?
What does the party have to do with the primary?
Well, I think the party has to do because it's community organizing within a group.
And so you want somebody that matches your ideologies and your values. Yes, I got that.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, so I say if you have a group of people who come together, you know, community organizing 101, who do we want to be our choice? That's who decide. Now, if you're not a member of community, if you're not willing to play the whole game, why should you participate? LJ, you might have a perspective on this.
Well, geez, I'm totally at a loss. I mean, I know how I feel about it. As a Green, I wasn't allowed to vote for Bernie, but if I would have switched my party affiliation to Democrat, right, I would have been able to vote for Bernie. What do I do? Do I switch back to Green again?
Let me ask you. I'm not a Green, but I couldn't vote to choose who the Green would nominate. Should I?
So do you believe in party and partisan politics, or do you believe in the person?
I believe in partisan politics.
Okay.
I believe in ideology.
Okay. Well, so there has never, ever been a candidate that either one of you, counting you too, LJ, that you've wanted that is not in your party. I mean, you could perhaps go and have coffee with them and persuade them to join your party, but... if they had good qualifications, you wouldn't vote for someone if they were in a different party.
The reason that I'm a Green is because their political philosophy and my political philosophy pretty much match up.
Exactly.
And that's the reason. And that's the reason. As you know, both the Democrats and the Republicans are, how can I put this, corporate handmaidens. They're owned by Wall Street. they vote in favor
You don't have to mince words. I'm an independent, just so you know.
I agree with what you're saying, but you say the reason that you are a Green Party member is because you believe in the ideology and the philosophy of the Green Party.
Right.
I think what we might need are stronger political parties, more ideological parties, so you could be a socialist or a Green or a capitalist or a democratic socialist. Some things we see more in other countries where people more identify with the political party and philosophy. I think you are correct that the major parties are very similar, but so I would call for stronger political parties, more green parties, more libertarian parties rather than
okay,
less.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you think that a parliamentary system would work, I'm giving you guys air quotes, better or not?
There's a couple of things that, for me, I would need to hear about how that would be structured. And then also there's a couple of other issues about, this campaign finance, basically. Because I'm still looking at how do you get more minorities, newcomers, and women involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you have a parliamentary, process, and you don't have even access to the media and to the ability to promote yourself and your ideas, or even just plain old voter education among certain groups, then I'm not sure that you're going to get what you want, because you'd still have a large chunk of the populace who maybe are not as well educated as they could be with whatever the voting process is and the candidates.
Okay. Just one more quick thing to throw into the mix. All right. Isn't there a Multnomah County ballot initiative on the ballot to limit campaign finance in Multnomah County?
I voted a couple of weeks ago. I think there was something in terms of, I think you are correct. It was in terms of campaign finance reform.
Yeah. So in Multnomah County, if it passes and if it survives the court system, we will have that in Multnomah County, right?
Hopefully,
hopefully.
It won't have the same lifespan as the Portland City Council one had.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for opening up the dialogue. You and Celeste are right on the money again. Thank you for what you do. Have a great day.
You as well, LJ.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey. And who are you? Join the conversation. We got a few minutes left. You know, as we were scanning through the nation here, I was... I was showing Cecil these headlines here. I'm just like tickled. It's like, don't tell Trump now, but Minnesota is about to elect their first Somali American congresswoman. Yes, and then the sub headline says it matters that Ilhan Omar will be elected to the Minnesota State Legislature on the same day that Minnesotans reject Donald Trump. Article by John Nichols.
Well, things are changing. Lots of things are changing in our society. And again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. You know, as we mentioned, we are in the midst of election season. Do you have particular reforms you would offer? And stay tuned to KBOO because, you know, during this day and continuing tomorrow, you'll hear more insightful perspectives on this elections. And, you know, previously with LJ, we were talking about reforms and whether he asked a question about a parliamentary system. And I think I know I'm in favor of that.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you.
Because as it is now, 51% could vote for one person and 49% could vote for the other person or party, and the 49 has no power whatsoever. So I think it would enhance Representation and increased perspectives from everyone. So,
and you're talking about a parliamentary process.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, then my question would still be, what about campaigning finance? How would we finance them so that we could make sure that everyone had equal access to media and promotion?
Well, first of
now,
all,
I'm not saying that one is tied to the other, but I'm saying one, you got to have both hands.
I know. Well, nationally, we're limited because we have, unless we have a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United, that yeah. type of reform is not going to take place. Locally, there are ways, and I would be in favor of public finances of campaigns, but
yeah.
that's not likely to happen. And
no, it worked for a little bit, and then it just died.
Yeah,
it just died a sad death. Well, it's 8:49, and we don't really have to leave the air early. We'd love to have a conversation with someone about our topic today, and we know some of you are probably tired of hearing about voting. You got your ballot in your hand, and you're probably pulling out hair, or you've probably had to white out, you know, your choice a couple of times. And I just want to tell you, if you white it out, you have to go to what do they call it? Multnomah County voter. What's the building called? I can't think of it.
Election?
Right now. Board of Election. There you go. Okay. And you have to show them your spoiled ballot and your ID, and you have to get a new one because you can't put white out on the ballot.
So for the first time in a long time, I did my ballot early
mm-hmm.
and mailed it in.
I did mine a week and a half ago.
And then I read some things and said, oh no, I voted wrong on a particular initiative. Can I go to the county office and say I made a mistake?
No, you'd have to have the ballot in your hand.
Okay. So I
yeah, you have to have it in your hand.
So I live to regret a vote I made.
Well, no,
you do that most of the time anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, come on. It was a choice you made based on the information you had. And I dare say you don't get even 75% of all the information when it's time to vote anyway, no matter how many ballot, campaign informational booklets you read or initiative information booklets or, you know, candidate, there's always some more news.
So maybe I should wait like I traditionally do until mm-hmm. the last day, election day, to walk up to the Board of Elections and hand in my ballot.
Well, you could. See, what I did, I sealed it. Wow, I must have been pretty sure. I was about to say I carried mine around and I was going to drop it in today, but I hadn't sealed it. But it looks like I've sealed it, so I can't change. Well, I could.
I could
open it, you know, and then, like, I can steam it open. But the thing is that I learned from you that if you vote early, you don't get a whole bunch of that propaganda in your mailbox.
Well, you know, that's why I voted early. And guess what?
You still get it?
I still get it.
Okay, well.
People are not, you know, campaigns aren't doing their work. They're wasting their money by sending out. You can go and see who voted.
Yes.
Very easily.
Yes, you can track your ballot, which is scary.
Yeah.
You know, and in which case, if you wrote in somebody and you wrote in yourself a president or any of these other offices, you know, that you contested, they might actually know that it was you that voted for yourself. And that's a little scary.
Well, so it is. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're talking about elections, ideas or opinions or views for the next few minutes here on More Talk Radio. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we'll go to a caller. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I have to say, I find it rather ironic that the last caller is so amazingly profound, and then there's, like, no other callers. I mean, I'm not sure if he just, like, scared the...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, and he posed some good questions, too.
Yeah, let's get our act together here. I just kind of had a quick question. I mean, it's kind of related to reform, I suppose, but I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about provisional ballots. And I'm actually not even sure if they're in Oregon, but I've heard a bit about them and they're a bit scary, so I was wondering if you could just talk a bit about that.
I can't. I'll be really honest. I mean, it was not our aim today. What is your question, though? Maybe if you throw it out into ether, somebody can come back with a good answer.
Well, I mean, basically, it's like, you know, from what I understand, you know, minorities' ballots many times are not counted because they're handed provisional ballots.
Right.
And I feel it's very unfair to say the least. And I think it's just something that the public needs a bit more of an understanding about, because people get very excited and it's important to vote and everything like that, but it's somewhat redundant and pathetic to think that, you know, you're going to cast a ballot and it just doesn't get counted.
And part of the problem is that in each municipality there are different voting rules and regulations, and you are correct in terms of provisional ballots, because in some communities you walk up to the voting booth and they don't have your name and you can do a provisional ballot. Now, will they count the provisional ballots or not? That's another question. So I think that's why in so many communities there have been concerns and are concerns about voter efforts to reduce people access to voting. Amy Goodman earlier this morning reminded us that this is the first election in 50 years that the voting rights bill will not be in effect, so that more people will be disenfranchised. We read about a federal judge which allowed people who've been thrown off the voter rolls to be rolled, I think, in North Carolina. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Greg Palast, who has been talking for many years about these type of infractions and how, you know, although voting is precious and almost sacred in our secular society, it is not equally accessible to all people. And earlier, you know, in Amy Goodman's show, we're talking about whether or not those who have been convicted of felony are able to vote. And again, that varies in each state.
Well, there's quite a few states that actually allow you to vote if you have been convicted and served your time.
Yeah, Oregon is one of those. I think 46 states do.
But you have to ask. You have to inquire. Now, I will say this, because when I was younger, I used to work as a ballot poll challenger, poll watcher. One of the reasons I'm reluctant to speak about it is because you will have people who would get a ballot and have their name on it and then come in and not have ID that said that was the same person. You'd also have some people asking for the provisional ballot, show an ID, and you didn't have a way to count or check to see whether they had voted or not. So, I mean, in terms of what I think about them, I see them as kind of being a mixed blessing, because if you come in, you don't want to show an ID, and you're given a provisional ballot. This is the part I don't really, I'm just going to, it's my opinion. I don't think you get to vote, you know.
Well, voter ID and has been
voter
challenged.
ID, yeah. I'm not talking about that kind of voter ID where you just, you know, kind of like you used to have to carry around your booklet, you know, your ID booklet. I'm talking about you just don't want to show an ID.
Well,
that there's a difference.
There is a difference. I mean, earlier this morning, on Amy Goodman was talking about one who, I mean, voting fraud is very rare in our society,
despite what Trump says.
So it's, you know, we have another caller. Hey, thank you for calling. Let's see, Ross, and you have, I think, like 30, 45 seconds, Ross. I'm sorry.
It's wonderful, wonderful, because here you didn't have any callers, so I thought, well, I can't let you down. Uh-huh. You're talking about such an important topic, and the whole business of changing and wanting to change the electoral system is very important, because there's so many people who want to put the cart before the horse, which is to say, they say, uh-oh, we have two parties. I don't like to vote for the lesser of two evils, so I'm going to have a third party, which really amounts to trying to find a way to get people to vote for the bigger evil, because you become ungenerously, you become a Republican in, you know, become a fifth column Republican.
Yeah.
Here I'm talking in terms of, you know, when Nader was, people begged Nader to drop out of the election, and, you know, back in the day when Gore lost, and And but people still insist that he didn't throw the election for Bush.
Hey, we're off the air, Oz.
Exactly. Bless just, you all.
Okay,
bye.
You too. Just a reminder, you know, that's one thing about ranked choice voting. They'll give you more options. This is More Talk Radio on KBOO for my co-host, Celeste Carey. This is Cecil Prescott. I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
KBOO, Portland, good morning. It's 8:59, and coming up next is the Old Mole Variety Hour.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meeting in writing, please email monica@kboo.org.
Tune in Tuesday, November 8th for KBOO Community Radio's live election night coverage. We'll be broadcasting from 5 to 9 p.m. with news headlines, election returns, analysis, comedy, and the Mood Ring Report. We'll have the KBOO News House Band live, featuring the saxophone percussion genius Shoehorn and the best musicians in town. We'll also be checking in with our alternative radio news partners in the Oregon Media Association around the state of Oregon. This year, we're crashing the Willamette Week's party at Grand Central Bowl. Check that out. Always independent, always fingers on the pulse. Our news crew will be watchdogging the FBI itself, as well as the political parties. So don't miss it. That's Tuesday, November 8th, from 5 to 9 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio.